television and radio airwaves are thick with election season news and political rhetoric. By this time in the election cycle, most registered voters have made up their minds about who they'll vote for or whether or not they will vote at all. Many campaign managers likely wish there was a fail-safe way to get inside a voter's mind and figure out what makes them choose one candidate over another. Enter political researchers like Dr. Drew Seib. He's visiting assistant professor here at Murray State, and he's researched how context influences a voter's decision. Dr. Seib, thanks for joining us here. It sounds good.
Again, thanks for having me.
So when we talk about context and we're talking about the environment that a voter is influenced by, what exactly is an environment in an election?
Well, it could be a number of things. It could be your social environment. It could be a partisan environment or a nonpartisan environment. It could be a context in which there are just a few candidates to learn about, or a lot of candidates, or a lot of elections. So it's pretty broadly defined in that aspect. There's a lot of things that we don't know about the campaign environment, and there are a lot of different manipulations to it throughout our country.
Is there one aspect of the environment that's more important when we're talking about how a voter makes their decision?
I would probably say that the availability of partisan information is by far the most important aspect of a voter's environment. And not all elections in the United States are partisan, so sometimes that information is missing. And the question is, what do voters do?
So what have you found that they do?
Well, they seem to look for a little more information, but they don't spend as much time actually examining that information when the partisan information is missing. And when that partisan information is there, they're also a little more systematic about how they look for information. They're more careful to compare issues between candidates, for example, as opposed to just kind of randomly and haphazardly looking for information.
So what is a typical voter then? How does a typical voter approach their voting decision?
For a lot of voters, the first key piece of information, again, is that piece of partisan information. Is a candidate Democrat or are they Republican? And then beyond that, most voters seem to kind of go out and just try to verify that a Democrat, for example, behaves like a Democrat, that they are, you know, that good social liberal who, you know, believes we shouldn't regulate abortion. And they have, you know, these economic policies that are, you know, again, economically liberal and, you know, kind of, I guess, to really stereotype, you know, they're not going to cut down government too much.
Well, in Western Kentucky, I know a lot of Democrats are more socially conservative, and even some are more fiscally conservative than maybe the national stage Democrats that we see from the Northeast or farther out west. If somebody finds that their candidate doesn't meet with their ideas of what a Democrat should be or what a Republican should be, does that mean that they're going to not vote or vote for the other side?
Well, it makes voting a little more difficult, right? Because you can't, again, you just can't use that party label like it. It's so easy for many voters to do. So they have to take that time to figure out, you know, how do I line up with this candidate? Which is probably going to, you know, make a few of these people possibly not vote because it just becomes too difficult. Some of them might show up to the polls and just kind of, you know, fall back on party ID because it's served them well in the past. You know, I consider myself a Democrat. I don't know a lot about these candidates, but I'll go ahead and give the candidate the benefit of the doubt.
So they'll come in and then, again, the partisan label will trump everything else that they know, if they know anything.
Yes.
So you said, you've said that actually one of the biggest problems is that people come in to the voting booth and they don't know anything and they're not very informed voters. So is there any way to influence that? Is there any way to change that in our current system?
Well, I think, you know, one of the pieces of research I have has to do with ballot length, for example. And the longer the ballot gets, you know, the more we expect voters to learn. We don't just expect them to learn about the presidential candidates, but we also expect them to learn about senatorial candidates and gubernatorial candidates and state-level candidates, and then a lot of times constitutional amendments or ballot propositions, and of course local elections. So there's a lot, you know, in some years that we expect voters to learn about. And these long ballots don't have consequences just for the bottom of the ballot, but also for the top of the ballot. And it seems like if we could find a way to shorten that ballot so that voters are required to make fewer choices, that they might be a little more aware about what's going on.
So what would that mean by shortening the ballot? Having more elections?
Either, I guess that's one way of doing it. Or, you know, do we really need to vote on something such as dog catcher or the coroner? I mean, do we need to vote on all these offices? The ballot propositions. We have a state legislature for a reason. Why not let them do their job?
That sounds pretty radical. It's like letting the people have as much of a voice in their system.
It does, but at the same time, they're not paying attention to these issues as it is, with the exception of a few small, groups, who are aware about what's going on. But those are the same people who are going to contact their state legislature or the senator and, have some kind of writing campaign going. So if you're not informed about the issue, how does it change, whether or not you get to make that decision or not?
So if somebody, is looking at a ballot that has, maybe 20 different elections on it, 20 different races, what's their typical reaction going to be if maybe they've researched three or four of those?
Well, the three or four they're definitely going to vote on. The problem is, as they get down lower, one of the things that's going to happen is, one, they're going to start, they're going to be more likely to check the box next to the first candidate listed, which usually goes in alphabetical order. So if your name is starts with A, last name starts with A, you're probably more likely to get votes than somebody's last name starts with Z. As you go further down the ballot, you just kind of become fatigued, and you tend not to care as much about voting for those positions at the very bottom.
Hmm. Have you done any research on, you mentioned some of these, I guess, I don't want to say less important, because if you're the dog catcher, that's a very important job in your eyes. But some of these less high-profile positions that we vote on, if you just put those by themselves on a ballot, does that change how people...
I actually haven't done that yet. I think part of my problem is trying to simulate that type of election where I can compare, these low-profile type offices, and still, make sure that the environment is similar to what it would be in real life, where the voter isn't overly motivated, or the subject wouldn't be overly motivated to learn about these offices more so than they would in real life.
Mm-hmm.
So I haven't gotten there just yet, but I hope to.
I see. And when we're talking about some of the more higher profile, like, for locally we have county judge executive, and, nationally we have Senate races, presidential race, as we have now going on. What are some of the more important things that influences a voter's decision on those, and does a ballot play into that?
Well, I think one of the most important things that we consistently find, beyond party ID, would be the economy. It's hard to find a study out there when you're trying to predict who the voter's going to vote for that doesn't include the economy in the equation. It doesn't matter if it's good or bad, it's somehow in there. But beyond that, I think, ballot length is sometimes will play a role. And I think it has more to do with just becoming informed about what's going on. We can only spread our attention so far. And there's also differences that also I'm slowly finding that there are differences between the way men and women handle these environments, too. When you have that shorter ballot, women seem to take this more holistic approach and actually take the time to learn. Whereas us men tend to just be lazy about it and basically go with party ID more often than not.
Really?
Yes.
Do you have any idea why that is? Have you, reached any conclusions?
Well, it's a very general finding in both, the psychology and sociology literature that women tend to take this more holistic approach whenever they're making decisions versus men, which we'd like the shortcuts. I don't know if there's any exact reason why. It's maybe something to do with, how we're hardwired to think about things, but there isn't no definitive answer as to why yet.
Mm. So, as we're coming into this election cycle, we have a vote coming up next month, in less than a few weeks, actually, now. Are there any advice that you have for voters who still haven't made their decision, or as they're going in, how they should approach?
My first thing would be, don't trust either one of the candidates. Go out there and figure out what's going on your own. The candidates are out there trying to sell themselves and basically want to say about anything they can to win. So try to do a little bit of research on your own. Party ID is actually a pretty good starting point. If you're a Democrat, chances are you're going to line up with that Democratic candidate. If not, you're probably going to line up with the Republican candidate. Start there. It's going to give you some kind of clue, and then start thinking about what issues are most important to you. And start eliminating things from there. If you're an independent, it makes it a little more difficult because you just can't fall back on whether you're Democrat or Republican. So you might start thinking about, what issues are most important to you and spend your time there because, we are busy. We have a lot of things going on in our lives and we can't just, take days off of work to try to figure out what these candidates are actually saying and you know, what it really means to us. So start with just the most important issues would be my suggestion.
Hmm. Well, Dr. Drew Seib, visiting assistant professor at Murray State University, thank you very much for coming into the studio and talking to us today.
Right. And thank you for having me.